We gather together today to give thanks and praise to God for all the marvelous things that He has done in our lives. And now, as I start, I would like to do just that. I'd like to take a moment to thank God, this community of faith, for its mission and the ways it has welcomed people from all backgrounds. My family and I have also been recipients of your warm welcome. And for this, we want to say thank you. In our gospel story today, the man asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a big question, isn't it? Perhaps some of us ponder about it and wonder if we can ever meet the standard that we set for ourselves. Yet, Jesus tells the man, "You already know the answer to the question. Just follow the commandments." The man replied, "I have been following the law that has been taught to me as a boy." So why is he asking this question? Does he perhaps feel that he is unworthy? That he isn't doing enough? And then we read, Jesus, looking at him, loved them. Jesus loved them for seeking, for questioning, and for trying to find the more difficult answer. How comforting are those words to those of us who struggle and ask questions? Jesus, loving that he asked the question, told him what he lacked. Jesus told him the rest of the story. The man had asked the right question to the right person, but was not prepared for and did not like the answer. He did not expect to be told to sell all of his possession, give to the poor, and follow Jesus. Following Jesus is not an easy thing. It is very demanding. The young man had not committed murder. He was not a thief. He did not commit adultery. He honored his parents, and because he was wealthy, probably did not need to covet his neighbor. But did he love God and his neighbor as he loved himself? That perhaps was a challenge for this man, and is a great challenge for us also. Possessions aren't inherently evil. Money or wealth is not necessarily a bad thing. It is how we relate to these things that is the measure of how we are moving towards eternal life. The gospel message is that as we order our priorities and as we live out our lives, there are basic things for us to follow, or rules, such as no stealing, cheating, murdering, and so on. But the harder challenge is putting first and foremost the love of God and the care and love of others, the easy to love as well as the not so easy to love. In light of this story, I wonder what would Jesus say that we are lacking today? Perhaps he could tell us what we need to give up, get rid of, or put behind us so that we can fully follow Christ. There are things that can blind us and prevent us from connecting with God. As we give God thanks, we must find what stands in the way of our becoming what God intends us to be. Many scholars say that the problem with the rich man was not that he had a lot of wealth, but rather that his wealth owned him and prevented him from being united with God. So we should ask ourselves this morning, what owns me? What stops me from seeing God in my neighbor? What stops me from seeing a sister or a brother in need? And what blocks me from serving God and following Christ the way he requires? St. John of the Cross, the great Spanish writer of the Dark Night of the Soul, once said, and I quote, "To possess everything, desire to have nothing." I repeat again. To possess everything, desire to have nothing. When John talked about desire, he spoke of the things that we cling to, our unwillingness to let go of our expectations, to let go of the things that we are convinced that we want. John calls them our attachments, things that can become idols, things that get in the way of God or of the experience of God. Think about how you spend your time. Do you miss that friend who is waving at you because you are staring at your tablet or phone? Are you so focused on making a living that you forget to live? John was trying to explain what Christian theologians call kenosis, this idea of self-emptying or removing those things from our lives that get in the way of an experience of God. This idea of letting go of things that can take the place of God, tangible things and conceptual ones. Indeed, this idea of kenosis or letting go gets at those things that clog the arteries of our spiritual life. My friends, Jesus is calling us to let go of whatever gets in the way of God. It is just a matter of trust in God, trusting that God is in control, even when we don't know what the next step will be. Trusting that God will take care of us ultimately. I believe what Jesus told this rich man and what he will tell us today is that it is hard to focus on what we need to focus on when we have other things on the way. And as Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God wants our hearts. He wants to occupy the center of our lives. What Jesus is saying to this young man and to us today is that the things that prevent us from serving God are idols. God wants us to let go of what owns us. God wants us to get rid of things that are temporal so that we can focus on eternal things. God wants us to get rid of our idols and fully serve him. My sisters and brothers, what must you do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? The good news is that we do not need to do anything. God's amazing grace accomplishes our salvation. Jesus stripped himself of all baggage and gave his entire being to see us come to the gate of God's kingdom. By dying for our sins, Jesus enables us to pass through the needle's eye. May we always be reminded that nothing is impossible for God. I must say that getting rid of our idols is not an easy task to accomplish, but it is the work before us. My prayer for all of us, myself included, is this, that as we go home today, we ask God to help us identify the things that fill in the space that belongs to God, those things that we should release or put behind us so that God can fully occupy the first place in our hearts, so that we may follow Christ in all we do. Amen.